Two more Sundays. Brother Johnny said he had the solution to it. Brother Johnny Woolard. He said it took a lot of thinking, but he come up with a solution about this moving stuff. He said, I understand you have problems walking around. Yeah. Well, we're going to put you up in the upstairs with the microphone and your twin brother on the platform going through the motions. Now, that's ingenuity. I don't think I'm going to talk to Paul and see how he feels about that. St. John chapter 4. Verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. And I'm going to talk to you about Jacob's well. Amen? He in chapter 4 and verse 4 is Jesus. There's a press. He must needs go through Samaria. The Jews bypassed Samaria. They took the long ride around because they didn't want to mess around with those half-breeds. They were above. They were elite. Jesus said, I'm blowing all that stuff out the back door. I must needs go through Samaria. Every one of us has got a Samaria that we need to make sure we go through. It might be the street corner down near where you live where they're passing dope around. It might be the nursing home or whatever, but Samaria to the Jewish people was unsavory, but to Jesus Christ, it was a mission field. He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. And the rest of it is familiar scripture. But I want to talk to you just on that idea of Jacob's well. Would you pray with me? Father, if anything happens for the glory of God today, it will certainly be you. We give you praise and honor even in advance. As the service unfolds, we pray that we could say things that would be profitable, that would be able to bring conviction to the heart and mind of those who are in this auditorium. Breathe upon us with heaven's fire. Touch our mind that it might be alert and illuminated in spirituality. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Jacob's well, 1,700 years in making in this text. Jesus sat on the ledge of something that had been in existence for 1,700 years. The reason why it had endured so long of a longevity is because of the way it was constructed. Am I talking to anybody? Scripture says that it's not just about how we build and what we build, it's about how careful we are. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 said, but let every man take heed. Pay attention how you're building. If you want your dream to last, put some time in it. Let me make sure I get this thing going. If you start off in this spiritual journey this morning, don't be slap happy about it. Don't look at it in a casual way, well, God will pull me out, bail me out. You have a responsibility. Your friends can't carry you. They can encourage you. But you have an obligation, a responsibility. And from the day that you become converted to the day that God calls you home, you are in a building program. You're in a building program. You are building a Christian character. You're building a Christian life. And the reason why some Christians are so mixed up is because they don't take their time to build properly. It takes time to build a Christian life. It takes effort to build a Christian life. Can I get a witness out there? How we do something, listen to me good, how we do something determines the value of what we do. Hello? How we do something determines the value. Jesus said a day would come when many would say, Lord, Lord, I did so and so. And Jesus would answer them and say, I say unto you, depart from me, I know you not. Now they thought that they were going to be acceptable. They thought, they conjured up in their mind that they were going to be embraced. Jesus shot it down. He said, you didn't build right. Jesus said, there's two ways to build things. And we are in this building this morning, and either in one or the other. Jesus said, they're foolish people that build. Now they build. They're not sitting around watching television. They're building. But they're foolish because they don't build upon a foundation. We have foundational equipment. Oh, come on, somebody help me out. People want to leapfrog over the foundation because the foundation takes more time than the scaffolding does. The foundation takes labor and expertise and all that. But we got Christians that get saved on Sunday and they want to prophesy on Sunday night. They want the gifts of the Spirit operating by Wednesday. They want all the supernatural rings of fire by next Sunday. And it don't happen. And they get discouraged. And they get mystified. Why? It's because you have not taken time to dig down. Hallelujah. The Word of God says, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the greatest sermon that has ever been preached in the history of humanity is those three chapters. Greatest sermon. Love thy neighbor as thyself. When you're despitefully used, pray for those that are despitefully used. That's But people want to leapfrog over those things. Am I talking to anybody? Hallelujah. And so Jesus said, look, it's not only what you do, it's how you do it. You're building for your future. And Jesus come to this well in this particular day, and it's noon, and he's tired, and he sits down on the ledge of that well. And somebody said it was coincidental. He knew that woman was coming. It was nothing coincidental about it. He arranged to have a meeting with her, and she didn't even know about it. And he's going to pull the covering off. He's going to make her see herself. But it happens at Jacob's well. Somebody say amen. She was headed to the well. Jesus was also there, and he stopped, and the meeting took place. First of all, are y'all with me? First of all, let me tell you, Jacob's well was a costly thing. Do you get that? 90 to 100 feet deep, chiseled through rock and stone and all kinds of barriers and all. It cost him something to go. I mean, he's digging that well. He's not digging that well for his family only. He's digging that well for the future families. It costs something to build a Christian life. It don't happen through emotion. It don't happen through excitement. It costs something to dig down and make sure that you are in the right position, right problem. It could have been done cheaper. It could have been done easier. But Jacob looks and said, no, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. He lets the other people go to the movies. He lets the other people go to the dance hall. He lets the other people do whatever they do. He sticks to the wheel and to the of building that well. He sticks to his project. It takes time and it's costly. It cost you to pray. It cost you to fast. It cost you to read this Bible. It cost you to discipline yourself. But you're not building, you're not just doing it for you. You're not doing it to look in the mirror and say, man, I'm somebody. You got children that's watching you. You got grandchildren that's coming down the road. You don't want to pass them a shabby life. You want to pass them something that's well ordered, that's well made. Am I talking to you? You want to pass them something that's got care and compassion in it. When I got saved in 1969, in 1970, I wanted a Bible better than the dime store Bible. I mean, I'm not minimizing, criticizing, but I wanted a good study Bible. And so I heard different recommendations. I was going to invest money in it back in 1969 and 70. $10 was a lot of dollars. And so I finally settled down on Thompson Chain Reference, best Bible on the market for just reading and getting to study. So I got the thing together, and I ordered it, or at least my secretary ordered it. And I got it, and I started reading it. I got it in at home now. I started reading it. I said, oh, this is fantastic. I enjoyed reading it. I didn't know prophecy from, I didn't know predictions. I didn't know anything. I sit on that front porch in the Highway 64 in Plymouth going to Wood Roper, and I'd read that Bible, and I'd say, I don't know what I'm reading. I don't understand any of it, but I'm going to keep on reading. I'll come to a verse after a while that makes sense to me, but I'm going to keep on reading. I laid that Bible down. Don't you do Facebook on this, what I'm here to say. I laid that Bible down one day, and Phyllis come in. She was under 2 years old. And she decided she wasn't going to read it. She was going to take part of it with her. And we discovered that she literally, you know, eat the word. So. But I look at that Bible now. I looked at it yesterday. Torn, not because of, it's just worn. It's just worn out. Notes in it that wouldn't make anything, any difference to anybody else in this world. And I'm not even sure I can remember all of them. What my frame of mind was. But I knew one thing, ladies and gentlemen. I was building a life. I was building something. I knew that the hours that I sat there reading, if I didn't understand it, that's no big deal. As long as I was applying my mind, I knew there's an illuminator. I knew there's one who would turn the light bulb on, he turned the switch on and say, you may not understand all of it, but I'll give you enough to get by. I'll give you enough to survive the storms of life. And at 45 years later, I still am learning, and I've by no means gained it all, but I'm better than I was. I'm more proficient than I was. I got a better understanding than I had. But it did not happen by me chasing rainbows. It did not happen by me going through emotional upheaval. It happened because I put my nose in the Bible and I built. I built. I wanted something that would stand. I knew storms were coming. I knew fires were going to burn. I knew trials were. I was intelligent enough to know that. And I knew that if I was going to survive, am I talking to anybody? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It cost something. Jacob was building for tomorrow. He wasn't building for right now. You're not building for this Sunday morning in August. You're building for something that's going to be coming. There's somebody following you. There's somebody being influenced by you. And if you're steadfast, they'll be steadfast. If you're secure, they'll be secure. Because they monkey see, monkey do. It's a pattern. It's a follow me, Paul said, as I follow Christ. You are your brother's keeper. You have an obligation. You don't have the right to fly off the handle. You don't have the right to show yourself. You don't have the right to show humanity. It shows enough without you trying. Hallelujah. Am I talking to you? It cost him 90 feet to 100 feet chiseling through rock. People go by and say, oh, let's go fishing. Go ahead fishing if you want to. I'm not fussing about your fishing. Go ahead fishing if you want to, but I got to get the way. What are you doing, Jacob? Don't you know it's a wasted effort? You might think it's a wasted effort, but there's going to come a time when a traveler is going to come by here, and they're going to know what this well is, and they're going to say, I don't know who built it. It's got Jacob's well on it, but I don't know who Jacob was. But I know one thing, it's hot out here. It's dry out here, and I'm glad that there's a well that I can come to. Am I talking to anybody? Somebody raise your hand. It's time consuming. Y'all want me to go on? I'm glad you do. People want a powerful Christian life, but they don't want to pay the price. I mean, the Word of God says to present yourself as a living sacrifice. Christianity is not an add to thing. Christianity is not adding something to what you are. Christianity is death to what you are. Death to what you are. People fuss at pastors because pastors try to keep some discipline in the church. try to keep some correction in the church. And they fuss at the preacher. He ain't going to tell me what to do. Nobody tells you what to do. You're bullheaded. You're stubborn. You're obstinate. I got two more Sundays. If you can't be teachable, you better not try to teach. If you can't lead, if you can't follow, you better not try to lead. Jacob's down in that well. It's hot. I'm dramatizing. Common sense tells you it was hot. It was not comfortable. Other people were doing what they wanted to do, but he's building something that's going to stand for there. He don't know that 1,700 years down the road, the Son of God from heaven is going to be walking through Samaria, and the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is going to sit down on the ledge of that well. Jacob don't know that. He don't know what the next generation is going to do, but he's building it just in case. I want somebody to pick my old Bible up and look at it and say, my God, I don't know, I don't understand all the writing, but this man must have loved this book to put all that stuff in it. Am I talking to you? Jacob worked a long time and got no fruit for his labor. He worked in faith. He was faithful to the task, patience and persistence. He worked because he believed that what he was doing was worthwhile. Part of that working is cranking that car up on Wednesday afternoon. Not to go to Walmart. Part of that working, show me your faith by your work, and I'll show you my faith with my works. Jacob is building, and I'm getting that to you. There comes a time when you have to put everything aside and put obeying him first. It cuts the grain. There's something about us that we don't want a full commitment. We want a partial commitment. I'll go so far, but I won't go any further. I'll adapt so much, but I won't adapt anymore. I will conform so much, but I'm not going to conform anymore. I will do a little bit, but I'm not going to do a lot. Jesus said, none of that is acceptable. He wants your all. Amen. So it was a costly work. It cost you. Am I talking to anybody? It cost you to be godly. You're not godly just by your own human nature. I was thinking about Jacob and Joseph. Jacob loved Joseph. He had other children, but specifically said he loved Joseph. And Jacob did something for Joseph that cost Joseph a whole lot of problems. Jacob fixed Joseph a little coat of many colors. Hello? I mean, everywhere Joseph went when he was wearing the coat, nobody had to say which one of the boys there. Everybody knew by that coat that Joseph was coming in their presence. And I look at that coat of many colors and I see the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, meekness, gentleness, goodness, kindness. Patch here and patch there. Let me tell you something right now. When you wear the coat of the many colors, the devil is going to do everything he can to take that coat off of you. He'll rip it off. And there, you know the story. Joseph ends up in the pit. The coat's brought back to Jacob, drenched in blood, animal blood. It's a long story. Number two, are y'all with me? It was not only a cost, it was a valuable work. There's nothing more. What shall it gain a man if he lose the whole world? Prophet, if he lose the whole world, gain the whole world and lose his own soul. It's a valuable work. What you're doing it has value to it. There's nothing in Samaria as valuable as that well. Hello? I mean, there's nothing in Samaria. A town can make it without a pool room. They can make it without a bingo parlor. They can make it without a movie theater. They can make it without a dance hall. They can make it without a political platform. They can make it all, but a town will not make it without a well. You got to have water. You got to have, am I talking to you? It's viable. The town can make it with all those things. People may have looked around and said, whatever, They may have offered suggestions, but the most important thing in that town was that well. I'm talking about, look at that well now as a pattern of the church. A town can make it without a lot of stuff, but if a town is going to survive, it's got to have a church that's a Bible-believing church. Hello? Oh, God, help me. Hallelujah. Am I talking to you? People may have laughed. See, they went out of town to go to the well to get water. What they are interested in is not what the well looks like. And a lot of people don't like the old well. I'm getting ready to say something now. A lot of people don't like the old well. Let's spruce it up a little. It's outdated. Y'all not even following me. We need to improve upon the well. They're not even interested in what's in the well. They're interested in what the well looks like. I don't care if it's a brush harbor out here or a brick building. That's not what ought to get our attention. What ought to get our attention is what's in the building. We ought to have the anointing and the Spirit of God. And so people get all mixed up. Oh, let's go. See, the teenagers, y'all get this good now. The teenagers needed what was in the well just like grandmama did. There wasn't a well, oh Lord God. There wasn't a well out there for the kids. There wasn't a well out there for the ladies and one for the men. There wasn't a well out there for the black and one for the white. There was one well. And if you're going to drink water, you're going to drink water out of that well. Oh, but Pastor, we got to do something. I said, go ahead and do it. I mean, I scratched my head. I'm not against it, but what we're trying to do is take the attention off of what those teenagers need is a good dose of the water that's in the well. Do you believe I'm telling you the truth? That's what survived, got me. That's what kept me. That's what kept you. What was in the well. I don't care what kind of structure it is, brick, wood, hay, straw, whatever. But what that living water's got to flow. Hello, church. So, look, it was a viable work. And we, well, if we did this, we could gain. If we had the boogie-woogie trio coming up. The boogie-woogie trio is not what you need. You need the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Am I talking to you? And we substitute. The fact is now, see, that well had a covering to it. When I lived in Johnson County, a lot of the farmhouses still had an old well out in the yard that was usable. And they had a man that his wife attended our church, and he was kind of like the community man. And on his days off, he would go clean wells out. I never wanted to drink out of a well after that, because there'd be dead cats, there'd be snakes. So most of the people put a lid on the well until they needed to get the water. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something right now. We got people, they started now with bottled water. Let me run by Walmart and get me a couple of bottles of water. It'll quench my thirst. The only thing that will quench your spiritual thirst is to touch God. Amen, am I talking to you? So people, they ride by and they see the old-fashioned. I mean, I'm not kicking the charismatics. I'm not. But they look at all the frills and thrills and the bells and the whistles, and they say, come on, Allegood, get out of the past century. You know, join with the 21st century. Be creative. Be modern. I say, I don't want to be modern. I'm not interested in, you know, the latest fad. You know, the latest intrigue that comes along. Am I preaching? But Pastor, you gain people. Let me tell you what has brought this church to where we're at tonight. For 36 years, it's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God. We didn't minimize the Word of God. We preached. We didn't come just to shout. We preached the Word of God, talked the Word of God, expounded the Word of God to the best of our ability. We had good workers that expounded the Word of God, and people got a hold of the Word of God. I looked through some material that I had the other day. It's 30 years old, and I was amazed. I was marveled at the material, how the Holy Ghost had put the confirmation upon it. And then I looked at material 3 months ago, and it's the same. It's got the same stamp in it. Amen. It's the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So people, they may have, Jacob, you're crazy. Just leave it. Just come on, unhook your chain horse from me. Let's go. When you try to, Brother Larry sings a song, The Great Speckled Bird. They made fun of her teaching. Isn't that kind of what it goes, Brother Larry? They ridiculed his word, but hello, church, I'm losing. They don't appreciate us. Listen, here's where the cosmetic, and I'm not talking about facial stuff. I'm talking about the facade. Here's where it really comes in right here. Let's make it look better. Let's make it more appealing. People that are desperate is not interested in appealing. People that are desperate with cancer, troubled children, they're not interested in whether it's a brick building or whatever kind of building it is. But when they get in trouble, you hear me? They're going to look for Jacob's well. When they get in trouble, they're going to look for somebody that knows how to dig the well and give them water. Maybe, I'm not fussing, I'm not deliberating here. Maybe during the course of normality, they don't see any need of coming out to the old well. They don't see any need of sacrificing. But let the doctor take the stethoscope from his ears and put it back around his neck and look at you with that solid gaze and say, Brother Murphy, I'm sorry to tell you, but you've got cancer. I'll tell you, it will change your thought pattern. All at once you start looking in there. Are y'all hearing me? All at once you get in your car with your GPS, the nearest church. No, not that one. The nearest church. No, not that one. I've been there. All they do is just formality. They marry the young, bury the dead, have suppers and all that. Where is it? Where? Oh, God, where's a church at that's got the well of Jacob in it? Oh, I know. Out there in the boondocks. When you are desperate, you don't care who sees you, go to the boondocks. When you're desperate, you don't care who sees you, go in the Allegheny Church of God. You don't care about all that stuff because you know you're willing to uncover every rock. You're willing to go through everything in order to find something somehow to give you some deliverance from your problem. Am I talking to anybody? Crises will humble you down. Where you go to church at? Well, out on Mill Hole Road, we go to Allegheny Church again. Well, I hear a lot of strange things about that church. You might hear some strange things about it, but let me tell you something. Don't judge it until you've been out there. Hello? So it's a viable work. And when people get in trouble, they come seeking our water. And we tell them, Jacob's well is available. Drink all you want to. Because we're entering into somebody else's labor. We're enjoying somebody else's sacrifice. Am I right? I got a thing in the office, a condensed history of the Church of God in Eastern North Carolina. It was compiled by a study committee back in 1975 or something like that. And it gave the brief history. And then I sat with Odell Horton and Lida Bell and two or three others on several different occasions, just trying to get listening to them about the history of this church. And they talked about the revival that was going to run the preacher out of town, and some of the men in the neighborhood defended him, and it was all marvelous. And it's a history that was compiled by the state office. But we are today in this air-conditioned building, comfortable, with a preacher that's getting ready to leave. We're enjoying the labor of somebody else. But we can't rest on our laurels, because there's another generation coming that we got to leave some. We got to pass the church to them and say, this is the way to Jacob's well. It was dug through a lot of hardship, a lot of expenses, a lot of perplexity, and we're giving it to you, and don't you mess with it. Don't you liberalize it. Don't you water it down. Don't you compromise it. Hold on to what you were given. I know it's good when I stand. Hallelujah. See, sooner or later, everybody's going to need to take a walk out to the well. Am I right? It was an enduring work. And I'm winding up. Jacob never dreamed that it would last as long as it did. Do you remember Abraham dug wells, and by the time Isaac come along, they got stopped up? They were not dug like this one. Do you remember the servant of Abraham was sent on a mission? I read it in Genesis chapter 24 today. It said, go to Mesopotamia, go to my home, and find a bride for my boy Isaac. The servant, being a type of the Holy Ghost, got his animals together, 10 camels. 10 in the Bible is always completeness. Always, that's what it stands. 10 camels loaded with gifts, and he takes off. And he finds a bunch of ladies around a well. There it goes. And it's got a cover on it, and they can't get in it because they're not strong enough. And Isaac, the servant intervenes. See, that servant is the Holy Ghost. And they get the well open. And the servant said, listen to this now. The servant said, Lord, if one of them says, let me draw water for you, let that be the one. And one of them said, well, look, I'll draw water for you and for your beast. I mean, that was no small feat. And the servant said, go. And she gets the bucket full of water, and the rest of it's all history, because she comes back. And she's 700-some miles. Not a comfortable journey, not a comfortable trip. She's bouncing around, jostling around, ever what transportation. But it's evening when they come back into Abraham's territory. And Isaac is out in the field meditating. Hello? And she said, hey, who's that? We shall know him. Said, that's my servant's son. And she got down and she talked. You know the story. She talked to Isaac, and they got married, and it's history. Jacob never dreamed. Famines came, but the well stood. Storms came, but the well stood. Tragedy came, but the well stood. And that's what we need to know. Anyone can say there's a believer, but it takes dedication to build a life of faith. Somebody said, I've started this way 4 or 5 times, preacher, and I've failed miserable, and I'm just ashamed. Start it the 6th time. Because there's a glue that comes from heaven that will stick you into it. Would you stand with me?